The CNBC app. Global market news in one place. Customizable sections and personalized alerts. Stocks tracking, interactive charts and market insights all in your hands. Stay connected. Stay informed. Download the CNBC app today.
A very warm welcome, everybody. This is Squawk Box. U.S. futures rise ahead of the first trading day of May as investors eye the next batch of earnings and data, while Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen looks to downplay price pressures.
I don't believe that inflation will be an issue, but if it becomes an issue, we have tools to address it. These are historic investments that we need to make our economy productive and fair.
Meanwhile, Warren Buffett warns of inflation risks amid a red-hot U.S. recovery as the Oracle of Omaha reflects on a landmark year in markets.
This is not a price-sensitive economy right now in the least, and I don't know exactly how it shows up in different price indices, but there's more inflation going on.
Meanwhile, you've got India, I'm afraid, recording its highest daily coronavirus death toll as hospitals continue to be overwhelmed with new cases and still only 2% of the population fully vaccinated. And in deals, private equity giant Apollo eyes Verizon's media assets amid reports a deal worth up to $5 billion could be announced as early as today. All right, happy Monday, everybody. And if you're watching in the United Kingdom, happy bank holiday. Why are you watching at 6 a.m. in England if you're on a bank holiday? Anyway, good, because it's a great show. Already in Jeff's headlines, what a great debate. Warren Buffett on one side, Janet Yellen on the other. I think this is an amazing conversation. It really goes into what we've been talking about for a very long time. So what did the Treasury Secretary say? Well, Janet Yellen played down concerns that President Joe Biden's massive stimulus plans could overheat the economy. Speaking to CNBC, or beg pardon, NBC's Meet the Press, Mrs. Yellen defended the White House's combined $4.1 trillion proposed spending packages. You've got to remember, they've already spent, or proposed, $1.9 trillion. That one's got through Congress. So, $6 trillion in total. And she also talked about the need for higher taxes to pay for this.
The spending that's been proposed in the jobs plan and the families plan, it comes into effect once the economy is back on track, and the spending from the rescue plan that's coming into force and helping us get on track after that stimulus is spent. It's spread out quite evenly over 8 to 10 years. So the boost to demand is moderate. We're proposing that the spending be paid for. Mm-hmm. And I don't believe that inflation will be an issue, but if it becomes an issue, we have tools to address it. These are historic investments that we need to make our economy productive and fair.
So there you go, Janet Yellen. And as Steve pointed out, it's very much a case of he says, she says. Warren Buffett, of course, using this term red hot. Janet Yellen sticking to the line that we've heard from the Federal Reserve that these inflationary pressures will be transitory. I think what was interesting as we came to the close for the month, we actually saw the US markets kind of losing their mojo to the end of the trading month. And of course, there will be those who say, well, it was just position squaring. It was a little bit of end of month choppiness as the fund managers got their books square before we go into the month of May here. But the interesting thing is we have very strong beats from the corporate earnings. I think it's over 80% of the companies from the S&P 500 that have reported so far have actually come out with better earnings than the analysts had expected. Yes, I know what you're going to say. Don't they always do that? They lower the bar and step over it. And then you've got the base effects from the previous period a year ago as we were going into the COVID crisis. So yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes, we can take all of that on board, but still, we eased back on the throttle to the degree of 0.75% here. Having said all of that, of course, the month-end gains were strong. And let me just bingo call the numbers. The S&P was up 5.2% for the month of April. We saw the Dow up 2.7% and the Nasdaq up 5.4%. So just to make it clear, even as these boards are red here, it was a decent month. Now, let's ask the director, Adam, if he can just flip these boards for us, because I know he's just chatting to the producer in the back here, and I just want to make sure he's listening to what I'm saying. 30-year Treasury here, 2.29. Can you believe it? You can have 30-year mortgage money in the United States for 3%. If you are watching in the UK, as Steve says, firstly, yes, what are you doing up? But two, feel jealous because you cannot get anything like that here in the UK, where most fixes on mortgages only run up to about 5 years. The 10-year Treasury, as we can see, has edged back up through this 1.6 level. We will watch this closely because who does the market believe? Warren Buffett, red-hot inflation, or Janet Yellen? It's all transitory. Let's roll the boards again. Let's have a look at the currencies here. Look, the dollar was clinging on to some of the gains it made towards the end of the month here, but we've got a little bit of pushback. Very modest, though. Becalmed, I would say, these currency markets this morning. And no surprise, maybe, because we've got a lot of markets that aren't playing today. So the UK stock market is closed. Sterling dollar effectively flat. The Japanese are on holiday. The Chinese are on holiday. They're on holiday in Thailand. Lucky them. And you've got a holiday in Vietnam as well. So we're probably not going to get a lot of movement in the dong. Let's flip the wall again one more time. Okay, we'll take a look at the hot board. That gives you a good indication of where we are intending to go when the markets open in the United States. The indicated open for the Dow Jones up about 119 points. So we had some numbers through at the top of the hour from Siemens Healthineers. Let's just give you a few details on this. The company gave us a second quarter sales number in at 3.965 billion euros. The company's own forecast was 3.874. So they are above their own expectations. Second quarter adjusted EBIT in at 666 million euros, which is just off the consensus forecast of 698 here. But they are raising the outlook for fiscal year 2021. Let's get to Bernd Montag then, the CEO of Siemens Healthineers. Bernd, good to have you back with us on the program. So in spite of some misses on these numbers, by and large, I think you've beaten the expectations on the revenue line, but the guidance for full year 2021 is much more encouraging. Just give us a snapshot of what's happening in the business.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me. This was another great achievement of the global Siemens Healthineers team. Yeah, we had revenue growth of 13%. We closed the historic transaction of the combination with Varian, yeah, the clear leader in cancer therapy. And as you said, we were able to raise the outlook again to now target 14 to 17% growth for this fiscal year.
There was some concern, of course, that medical companies would be impacted on an ongoing basis by the pandemic lockdowns and the primary healthcare focus on the virus itself. Tell us a little bit about the reopenings that are happening now. I presume that's in part why you can lift guidance.
Yeah, so there are three aspects to this. I mean, on the one hand, we see that globally procedure volumes are back to pre-pandemic levels. Secondly, we can benefit from the COVID-related special demand. And when it comes to the part of the business which is not directly procedure-related, this is when it comes to investment decisions in imaging equipment or cath labs and so on, we see a good momentum in Europe and Asia, while the U.S. is still muted. Yeah, so all the growth we have seen is without contribution of the U.S., but we see the U.S. Market coming back, yeah, with already a strong order growth, which also gives us confidence for the future.
Bernd, really good to see you, and great to see a good set of numbers as well. I've just been on your website, in fact, I'm still there. And again, just following on from Jeff's question, the thing that I notice at the top of your website is a leap in cancer care, a leap in impact. That's your statement at the top of there. And it's not about COVID, it's about other long-term illnesses. Can we now get back to, in any meaningful way, focusing on these other devastating illnesses rather than just our primary focus on COVID-19?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, this is also why we have made during this pandemic, you know, the historic combination with variant, because in the long run, cancer is the much bigger pandemic, yeah, much more threatening. And this is where we, with as the global leader when it comes to imaging, when it comes to lab diagnostics, when it comes to minimally invasive therapies and variant, when we team up, can bring cancer care to a new level, and eventually with the target to fear the world, to free the world of the fear of cancer.
Yeah, here to that on cancer. Look, Ben, in terms of a debate that Jeffrey and I have already kicked off this Monday morning as well, talking about inflationary pressures, I feel it's really important to ask every person in your position, are you seeing big raw material crises? Are you able to keep your margin? Are you able to send that on to the customer as well? Do your workers actually come back to you now and saying, we need bigger pay rises now, there is bigger CPI in the system? Just wondered what your thoughts were on this debate.
So, of course, we have our eyes wide open. Currently, we as a high-tech company, we are not so dependent on raw material prices. It's also not about, you know, labor in the traditional commoditized form. So from that point of view, it is a topic to have an eye on, but not a key thing which keeps me awake at night.
Given how much cash flow the business is throwing off at the moment, then what are your intentions with M&A going forward? Obviously, you've put a deal to bed already here that we've just discussed, but what plans do you have for the rest of the year?
Yeah, I mean, as you said, I mean, we had a truly historic transaction. Yeah, so the 16 billion transaction with Variant is, of course, first to be on the one hand digested, but on the other hand it's the big focus of the business now. On the one hand, to live through the rest of the pandemic and then to turn this into a success, so that M&A is currently not the main priority of what we are doing.
And it was interesting, you talked a little bit about the geographical support you're getting at the moment, and some markets are back to where they were pre-pandemic and some markets aren't. How optimistic are you that we will see the trend, at least in your Western markets, continue to improve as the vaccination rates go up?
I'm very, very optimistic. Yeah, I mean, because in the end, especially, I mean, we see a very strong Europe now already, and in the U.S., it is very clear that the market will come back. Yeah, when customers decide to invest again, because they see procedure volumes are back. With the procedure volumes, their cash flow will be is back to normal levels. And they will free up the budgets, which have been frozen partially in the last year. I mean, with a little bit of luck, we will even see a bit of pent-up demand.
Yeah, just let's go back to, dare I say it, the topic which we've all been dominated by for the last 15 months or so, Bernd. Antigen tests. Again, strong revenue line for your company on antigen tests. Do you have any questions about the validity, about the efficacy of antigen tests? I had a very strenuous debate with one academic a little while ago on this channel who was questioning antigen tests quite aggressively as well. But you have less problems with this, obviously, I presume.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, we have to look at what is the special situation we are in. I mean, antigen tests are exactly the right test when it comes to a pandemic. It is not, when in the normal course of healthcare, when you when it's about rare diseases and you really want to know by 100%, yeah, do you have, I mean, an HIV infection or not? Yeah, this is a very, very different question than managing an entire society. Yeah, where the antigen test needs to be compared to having no test, and it doesn't need to be compared to what would be the best possible test at this moment, because for millions and millions of people, you just cannot do the best possible test. But it is important to have a very good test and one which is available, which is affordable and gives you an answer right away. Yeah? So this is why antigen tests have a place. But with the pandemic going away, also the antigen tests will go away. Yeah?
And Bernd, just before we let you go, I just wanted to get a situation check. What is the outlook on the ultrasound business? For sale, not for sale?
So ultrasound is a business where we are developing a very good momentum. We had many good innovations on the system side hitting now, and we have a very good catheter business. The ultrasound business requires a different setup than the rest of the business. It's a faster paced business. It goes across different specialties. So we are currently in the process of setting it up in an ideal form, and this is raising interest, but that's all what is happening.
Bernd, really good to speak to you, sir. Thank you very much indeed for your time. We learned a lot today. Bernd Montag, who is the CEO of Siemens Health and Ears. So, coming up on this show, for all of you out there who don't worry about pensions or don't want investment advice, there is one or two people you should listen to. And those people you should listen to include Warren Buffett and his partner in crime, Charlie Munger. If you do nothing else in your life, just listen to what they've said about a few of these products. And they've also been warning about inflationary pressures ahead, as the billionaire investor says the US economy is red hot. We'll have plenty more on this after the break.
Ambition to me is about doing better.
I think ambition creates a pathway.
The best advice I can give someone starting off a career is don't have a career, have lots of careers, try loads of different things.
Talk to people and put your ambition out there.
I don't feel that I've hit peak ambition because it's a learning journey.
CNBC is where ambition meets opportunity. What does living ambitiously mean to you? Hear it from our CNBC anchors, reporters, and global business leaders on CNBC.com.
Welcome back. Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway has reported an $11.7 billion first quarter net profit, bouncing back from a loss last year thanks to a market rally that boosted several key investments. The business also saw its cash pile surge to more than $145 billion at the end of 2020 as the pace of buybacks slowed. In a virtual shareholders address, Buffett defended the company's decision to back away from stakes in airlines last year.
Imagine if Berkshire was the 10% holder, which they had been, of everyone in the airlines, they said, say, get up in Berkshire. I mean, it'd be like one of our, they might have very well had a very, very, very different result if they'd had a very, very, very rich shareholder that owned 8 or 9%. And they didn't have that, you know, when they went in. You might not have gotten the same result. In fact, I would think you probably wouldn't. I mean, I can just see the headlines now. I mean, they, you know, because you've seen the headlines on some companies that took $100 million or two, you know, and really didn't need it, and some of them gave it back, and most of them gave it back. But you're actually looking at probably a different result than if we'd kept our stock.
Meanwhile, Buffett called the U.S. economy red hot, warning Berkshire Hathaway may face headwinds from a potential rise in inflation.
We're seeing very substantial inflation. It's very interesting. I mean, we're raising prices. People are raising prices to us. And it's being accepted. I mean, it's not, take home building. I mean, the cost of, we've got 9 home builders, and in addition to our manufactured housing thing, and operation, which is the largest in the country. So we really do a lot of housing. The costs are just up, up, up. Steel costs, just every day, they're going up.
Well, that's what the youngster Warren Buffett said. I say youngster because he's a mere 90 years old. Now, if you want to hear someone even older talk, who actually talks just as much sense, well, how about Charlie Munger? He's Buffett's longtime business partner. He's 97 years old, by the way. He also gave his take on the recent surge in demand for cryptocurrencies.
Those who know me well are just waving the red flag of the bull. Of course, I hate the Bitcoin success. And I don't welcome a currency that's so useful and to kidnappers and extortionists and so forth. Nor do I like just shuffling out a few extra billions and billions and billions of dollars to somebody who just invented a new financial product out of thin air.
Look, you're not going to hear a very aggressive conversation between Jeffrey and I over the next couple of minutes because we probably agree with 90%, in fact, 100% of what Charlie Munger and Warren Buffett is saying about things as they are at the moment. They just talk sense with their 187 years between them. They've been there, they've seen it, and whether it's on SPACs as well. I mean, Charlie Munger there talking about the threat to civilization, the fee driven further from this as well. You've got to remember, and this is part of the rhetoric that Jeff and I have had for a long time as well, is there is so much money going around, sloshing around in the system as well, and that will lead to the inflation points in a moment as well, is how can Warren Buffett and his vast amount of resources that he has available to him not find those assets, but all these nouveau geniuses in SPAC world can find the good value in these assets as well. You've got to remember, Warren Buffett has been struggling to spend his enormous cash pile for years now. He's got $145 billion dollars sitting there waiting for good assets, waiting for the right part of the tide or in the part of the economy as well. And yet a lot of these SPAC guys, apparently these ladies and gentlemen in SPAC world, think they can do it better than Warren Buffett over a longer term period of time. Well, good luck to them. Have a look at his comments on that. Now let's get back to the inflation debate very quickly on this one. Just one more thing from me. We're raising prices. People are raising prices to us and it's being accepted. If that's not inflation, I don't know what is. You want to see inflation? Look at chip prices. You want to see inflation? Look at the markets. Look at used car prices, which are absolutely surging at the moment. There is inflation left, right and centre. I guess the only question, and going back to Mrs. Yellen's comments on Meet the Press, Jeffrey, is it transitory or not? Some of it doesn't feel particularly transitory.
And I don't think we're going to find out ultimately until we get to the back end of the year and we figure out exactly what these supply chain issues have meant in terms of the ability of companies to lift prices and impose those price rises. So I think the jury is still out and we've got two sides of a market on that story. I just wanted to go back to the point that you made, though, about the growing cash pile. It's very interesting, I think, that here you've got Warren Buffett on the one hand talking about the red-hot US economy, but finding it difficult to allocate cash into the economy to make additional acquisitions for the portfolio. And we know what did he do last? He bought some gas assets from Dominion Energy, and he put a bit of money into Japanese commodity trading companies. So he obviously has a sense of where he feels that this money is going to find a home. And we've obviously seen commodity prices rising as people have tried to put that excess capital to work here. But I think it's very instructive that he's finding it difficult to make further allocation. The cash pile, according to some of the forecasts I've seen, is expected to rise to in excess of $170 billion by the end of this year. And at the same time, he is slowing the pace of investment into his own company through the buybacks. I mean, they did talk about another $6 billion, but that is way off the pace we saw in the third quarter of last year, where they were up to $9 billion. And the filings do suggest that that pace is slowing at this point. So if you don't think necessarily that you should be investing more in your own stock and you don't think you should be buying more assets in the US economy, but you do think that the economy is red hot, what does that imply about where you think the future opportunity is going to come from? And it suggests to me that Warren Buffett already is very nervous about the levels that markets are at and the asset price inflation that we currently have just about everywhere, Steve.
Yeah, I mean, just two more points. I mean, you've said it all beautifully as well. Again, I'll go back to the inflation debate just one more time as well. The National Association of Manufacturers, I found this comment in the FT today in a great article about inflation in the Financial Times. National Association of Manufacturers found that 76% of its members saw increased raw material costs as their biggest challenge in 2021. Their biggest challenge is all the challenges out there, not COVID, not employee situation, but raw materials as well. And there are enormous bits of stats. The same article talking about Whirlpool raising prices. I think it was between, 5 and 12% this year. They expect it to have a $1 billion hit this year from higher input costs as well. How? And then plus, dare I say it, there's a small matter of $2 trillion already having been agreed to boost the US economy, plus another $4 trillion, $4 trillion fiscally, potentially coming down the pipe as well. Again, it seems almost inconceivable. That plus the expansion of money supply we've seen, which we haven't even talked about hardly at all in the last few weeks as well, the huge historic increase in money supply we've seen, with the Fed not in a hurry to cut asset purchases anytime soon as well. The ECB not in a hurry to cut asset prices at any stage, it seems as well. What's that going to do? Money supply, asset purchases, fiscal increases, raw materials going through the roof. It's just transitory, apparently.
Well, let me just share with you a bit of a conversation I had with someone in the construction industry over the weekend, which I think is very interesting because obviously somebody's price increase is somebody else's costs, as you've been pointing out there. If you are budgeting on a project and you borrow money from the bank according to that budget, and then suddenly you find that your costs have gone up by a magnitude of 5 to 10%, you suddenly have a problem because you need to go back to the bank and ask for additional money, or the bank will come to you and say, actually, we're a little bit concerned about getting our money back given the higher cost run rate we're now seeing in your industry. So there are reverberations to any of these price increases beyond just some of us feeling a little poorer. It will have consequences for the plumbing of the financial system. So just keep an eye on where potentially some of these whack-a-mole issues may pop their head up. Thank you for listening to Squawk Box Europe Express.
For more market-moving news, you can head to CNBC.com.
Or join us again on the show with Jeff Cutmore, Steve Sedgwick and Karen Cho, weekdays on CNBC.